Well, if you'll open your Bible to page 1046, I want to talk to you today about the fact we're complete in Christ. Now, in some of my reading the other day, I was reading something about something totally different than what I'm talking about now. But in the course of the reading, I ran across this statement that really spoke to my heart. Is a statement by John Calvin. Now, John Calvin, you may or may not know much about John Calvin. Of course, you've heard of Calvinism. He's kind of the father of that. But, and according to R.T. Kendall, Calvin himself was not a Calvinist. So that's a sermon for another time. But be that as it may, he was a very respected theologian. He was very much involved in the Reformation movement, you know. He and Luther, even though he's the age difference, about 26 years difference in their age, and they were in different parts of the world, the fact of the matter is both were in their own ways very involved. Of course, Luther being certainly more involved. And by the way, in October, we celebrate the 500-year anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. That is a very significant time. And I'm going to preach three sermons in October that deal with the three big deals that he did with the Protestant Reformation. But let me read you something Calvin said that really caught my attention. In fact, it caught it so much that in one of my Bibles, in fact, the one I have today, do you ever write things just in your Bible? I mean, like just on the little blank paper. Sometimes, you know, you'll read something and say, man, that's worth writing in my Bible. Well, I wrote this in my Bible, and here's what it says. And I quote, Calvin said, I gave up all for Christ, and what have I found? And then he answered his own question. He said, I have found everything in Christ. That statement would be a good sermon. It'd be a good sermon. A 16th century theologian and reformer said, I gave up all for Christ, and what have I found? And then he said, here's what I found. I have found everything in Christ. Well, now, he said that in the 16th century. Well, back in the first century, a missionary and a preacher and an evangelist and an author named the Apostle Paul said what Calvin said in those two sentences in five words. And those five words are, you are complete in Christ. That's exactly what Calvin said. Maybe he said it in a little bit fluffier way. But if you'll open your Bible, if you've not done so, to page 1046, you're in the book of Colossians. This is one of the great books in the New Testament. But look with me on page 1046. You're in chapter 2. Let's just maybe pick up in verse number 9, where Paul says, for in him, that is Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then in verse 10, now here's a verse that you need to remember where it is. And you need to remember something that's said in this verse, because look what he said about Jesus and how it relates to you and to me. He said, and you are complete in him, that is in Jesus. You are complete in Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. Now, you know, when we talk about being complete in Christ, there's kind of two senses of that. One is positionally. Like, we are positionally complete in Christ. In other words, the Bible says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And then over in Corinthians, that great verse, it says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So when we place our faith and trust in Jesus, positionally, I mean, we really are complete in Christ. But Jimmy just sang the song. I love that song. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So when you ever became a Christian, whatever age that was in your life, positionally, whether you realized it or not, you became complete in Christ. But that being true, practically and personally, the fact of the matter is, many people, even Christian people, they are positionally complete in Christ, but they live their life and they feel they're not complete. And this is what causes low self-esteem. People just feel like, you know, I've never quite found, quote, it. I just can't, I've tried this, I've done that, da da da, but I just can't seem to get it all put together, and it's just really a very, very sad thing. Many think, you know, there's just something more out there somewhere. If I could just figure it out what it is, then my life would be complete. Now, let me tell you where that road takes you. That road takes you to nowhere. That road takes you to nowhere. One of the greatest things in the world, beside the greatest thing in the world, is to be a Christian, is to know you're complete in Christ. I mean, when that clicks, it just solves a lot of other issues out there in life. But sadly, people try all these other things. Now, what I want to do today, I'm going to call them the four P's that people try to be complete. Now, there are more than four, but I'm going to hit on four, do the best I can the little time I have. One of those is pleasure. One of my P's would be pleasure. We live in just a pleasure-crazed world. We really do. You know, just, and the idea that, you know, if I could just kind of find the thing out here that gives me the pleasure I'm looking for, then I would be complete. But then, you know, that never does quite work, and I'm not going to illustrate different pleasures, but, you know, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, you know, talked about how that does not work. In fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Ecclesiastes is another great book in the Bible, one of the very first things Solomon tried to find completeness in life was pleasure. You know, he had a long list of things he tried. You read them in the book of Ecclesiastes, and the second thing on the list, pleasure. And he said, very empty, he said, it's just vanity. That word means empty. And because there's just never enough. I mean, whatever it might be, it just, you know, whatever. You just, it's just like you buy a new house, well, then you got to buy new furniture. And it just never ends, whether it be a house or the furniture or the whatever it may be. Pleasure is pleasure, but pleasure will never give you that feeling of completeness that you would like to have. Now, another P that people try to find completeness is popularity. Popularity. This idea that if I could be a popular person, if I could have some maybe fame in my life, that would really help me. I remember years ago, Troy Aikman. Many of you remember Troy Aikman. You know, he was a quarterback of Dallas Cowboys, and now, of course, he's one of the announcers on Sunday on football. But Troy Aikman has two daughters. And back when this question was asked Troy Aikman, his daughters were teenagers. And I don't remember the context of how the question was brought up, but someone asked Troy Aikman about his teenage daughters, and they were talking about being a parent of teenagers, especially a parent of teenage daughters, and they said to Troy, do you kind of keep up with the music that your daughters listen to so you'll know kind of what's going on? And he said, well, no, I don't. He said, I've tried, but I can't, and the reason I can't is because whatever is popular and whoever is popular just keeps changing. And oh, how true that is. I mean, you know, whether it be music or whatever it is, this whole idea of popularity, I mean, what's popular today won't be popular tomorrow. I was just thinking a moment ago, like who won the World Series last year? Well, some of you know, some of you don't. Like, who won the Super Bowl last year? Well, I think it's New England. They win every year. You could just fill in the blank on that one. You know, like, you stop and try, you know, back when all those things happened, though, it's a big deal. Like, who was the MFB, the most valuable player of the Super Bowl last year? Well, if you think, well, some will know, some won't know. Well, the day it happened, it's a big deal. And yet, popularity just kind of, you know, it just goes away. John had heard me say I was going to say this today, and he bothered to tell the church Sunday night in his sermon. That's called stealing a preacher's stuff. That's what that's called. Like, we have a little ground rule, we do, don't we, John, that if we tell one another something that we know we're going to use in a sermon, we say, now I'm going to use this, don't you use this. Now, I must say, I didn't say that to you. I didn't say don't use it. But the fact that I told you I was going to tell it, you should have known that, you know, you shouldn't have used it, but he did. But anyway, he quoted Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I told him last week, I said, you know, John Spurgeon said, by the way, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great prince of preachers in London, England, he said, well, now, where is his church? When I go over, I want to go here and preach. Well, he's been dead a long time. Okay, but anyway, he's looked upon as one of the greatest preachers that ever stood in a pulpit. And today, his sermons, even though he's long with the Lord, his sermons are probably read by more, well, his sermons are read more than any other, his sermons be read more than all the other preachers' sermons put together. I have, I think it's 53 volumes of Spurgeon's sermons. Now, of course, you know, you get ideas out of that stuff, but none of us could preach a Spurgeon sermon. I mean, he kind of preached in the King James Version and all that kind of stuff. But he made a statement about popularity and fame that I think is a very good statement. He said it's like building a sandcastle on the beach. It's beautiful to look at. We've done that. We've done that, most of us. But when the tide comes in, it's a whole different deal. It washes it away. That's kind of how fame is. You know, who's famous today? They won't be famous tomorrow, the next day, the next year, whatever. So, but people that think popularity is it, they wind up very disillusioned because after a while, nobody will remember much about them. Well, let me tell you another P. Another P is position. Many people, good people, and I know many of them that have really believed that if they could attain a certain position, it would give them the completeness they looked for in life. One of the most brilliant pastor, preacher friends that I ever have known, I remember years ago, he was in his late 30s. And we were at a camp up in Oklahoma. And he told me during the day, he said, I want us to visit that. I want to talk to you about something. And I said, okay. And so we did. And he said to me, he said, you know, he said, now this guy's in his late 30s. Now, first of all, the guy's a genius. He's a genius. He's a brilliant person. He's a godly guy. But he said to me, he said, I want to talk to you about something. He said, I have three goals in life that I want to attain, one of the three, before I'm 40 years of age. And I remember then he was in his late 30s, like we're running along about the same there. And I said, well, what are these goals? He said, well, I either want to be, and he named me these goals. I'll specifically name two of them. He said, before I'm 40 years of age, I want to either be the president of Southern Baptist Convention, I want to be the president of Baylor University, or I want to be a pastor, and he named of a certain church. And I don't choose to name that church. And he said, it's kind of mind-boggling to me, a guy 30-something years old, and said, you know, I have three goals in life, one of which I want to attain. I want to be president of Southern Baptist Convention before I'm 40. That'd be kind of, I don't think we've ever had a president before they're 40. Maybe we have, I don't know. President of Baylor University, I doubt Baylor's ever had a president under 40 years of age. And then I want to be pastor of this particular church. Well, let me tell you how that worked out for him. He actually succeeded. He became the pastor of that church he had named before he was 40 years of age. And let me tell you how that story ended, though. One night, he stood up on a Wednesday night and resigned the church and turned around and walked off the platform and for years stayed completely out of the ministry. Now, I'm glad today he's not pastoring a church today, but he's serving the Lord today in another way. Now, you know, I say that to say this. Now, there's a guy that, as smart as he was, and I count him a dear friend, but I got a real lesson out of that. I mean, what he thought was a certain position would give you a completeness. And I'm saying, I've watched that not work. And I see in my own life that that's not where it is. It's not a position. I am grateful and blessed to be the pastor of First Baptist Church, but I'm not complete in being the pastor of First Baptist Church. The day I'm no longer the pastor of this place, I'll be just as complete. My completeness is not in my position. I'm blessed by my position. I thank God for it all that. But I just encourage you today, you're in some position out there, whatever it may be. Don't let Satan make you think because you're at some position that you don't have, or you're not at some position that you're not, that it has nothing to do with it. It just has been what you are, where you are, and what God would have you to be. Let me tell you a fourth P that many people think, boy, if that could happen to me, I'd really, it all come together. That's kind of what completeness is. I'd finally think that I've got this thing all put together. Let me tell you what it is. It's possessions. It's possessions. Now, the wisest man other than Jesus, who was the God-man, who ever lived, Solomon. And here's what Solomon said. Solomon said, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. And he said of that, this is also vanity. So, you know, I mean, we all appreciate possessions. We have to have possessions, and we won't possess. I mean, that's it. You know, we understand that. But possessions won't make you complete. I mean, they'll satisfy or they'll do whatever for a little while, but that's just not where life is. And this is what the Apostle Paul has said. That's what Calvin was saying. Calvin said, I gave up all for Christ, and what have I found? He said, I found everything in Christ. I've had people say to me that were facing death, they say, Pastor, when you face death and you realize all you have left is Jesus, you realize Jesus is all you need. Boy, how true that is. I prayed with a man as recent as yesterday morning. Dottie was with me. I don't have any knowledge of whether the man knew I prayed there or not. But I didn't pray to the man. I prayed to God for the man. His wife was there. His children were there. And before I prayed, I reminded the family, look, medically, you know, it looks like we've kind of come to the end of the road here in this life. But listen, we still have God. And when you have God, that's all you need. And yesterday, just a little after, not long after we left, he just slipped out of his earthly body and went to be with the Lord. The truth is, when you have Jesus, you have all you need. And that's the P that makes you complete. And that P is a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you. Here's a verse. You just need to remember where it is in the Bible. Many times we say, I know a kind of a verse, a little bit of it, but I can't remember where it is. Here's one you need to remember where it is. And from time to time, you need to get your Bible and read it. And those times that you just feel like, hey, this hadn't worked for me, and that hadn't worked for me, or this has kind of gone south, and this prayer didn't get answered quite like I thought, and this job didn't pan out like I'd hoped it would, and this didn't just, and you get all that stuff, and next thing you know, the devil just gets you believing. You know, somehow you just never to get it put together in life. Let me tell you what. Remember what the old Apostle Paul said. He said in five words, you are complete in Christ. And when that clicks, it doesn't mean you become conceited or sold on yourself. No, no, no. You get sold on Jesus and you say, you know what? No matter what pleasure I have, we all enjoy pleasure. And we all want to be popular. We want people to like us. We're thankful for our position and we bless God for our possessions. But let me tell you what. When you have Jesus, you have everything that there is. And God, we bow here today and we thank you for that, God. I know that sounds kind of like what a preacher would say to a people, but God, the truth is that's what you say to us. We are complete in Christ. God, positionally, that's true. But personally, that is equally true if we would just receive it, if we would just understand it, God. All these things that we strive for and hope for and long for and all that, God, the fact of the matter is, out there at some point, we're going to realize those things really, that's not what life is all about. What life is about is to be complete in Christ. And God, I thank you when you have you, and we may get in a situation out there somewhere when we say, oh my gracious, I don't really have much hope left, but God, when we get in that situation is when we realize we have everything we need. We have all that we need because we have the one that meets every need. Now, God, there are needs in this room today. We all have needs. Some that they have maybe needs greater than others. The good thing is, God, just like you know the very number of hairs in our head, you know every need in this room, God. I know some of the needs in this room. You know every need in this room. And I pray and ask you today, God, may people, no matter what their need or needs may be, may they realize today they are complete in Christ, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.